Once again, taking your Bibles and turning to Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. And we'll stop right there. The title of the message this morning is Thirsting for God. Thirsting for God. And just to make you aware that I have blurred vision because I can't get a pair of glasses yet to be able to see. So some of the words are running together on me. And I have to have glasses to even be able to see the page. So I'd like to be able to take them off and read it, but I can't do that, or will I not be able to do it, but I just have to kind of get through the glasses part of it until I'm able to get new ones. We see here the thirsting for God. This is the language of the psalmist while wandering in the wilderness of Judah. It is an experience which is typical of those who have discovered their real need in the wilderness of this world's unsatisfactory pleasures and profits. So the world is thirsting. Wes Jefferson is thirsting. Ohio is thirsting. United States of America is thirsting. They just haven't figured it out yet. They can get the water that they need to give them a thirst that is quenched. But they just, again, they haven't figured it out. They don't know how to go about doing it, nor can they do it. So the first point I have this morning is the nature of this thirst. The nature of this thirst. Verse 1 there we read once again, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. But this is the psalmist here knows the Lord. He's not lost. He knows the Lord. So he can make that statement. It is the thirst of an acting, an aching spirit and a deprived life. Man is body, soul, and spirit. But there is a yawning gulf within his being that all the material blessings of the world cannot fill. As hard as you may look, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never, ever quench your thirst. Jesus Christ is the answer. In fact, the afternoon message is concerning that very thing. Many people today will tell you, oh, you don't need Jesus. You need this. You need this psychiatrist. You need this psychologist. You need this. You need that. But you don't need Jesus. Jesus isn't what you need. I was going to a conference one time down in the South, and I was listening to a Christian radio station or Christian broadcasting, and it was a talk show type thing, and the guy said he called in and he had all these problems, all these issues. And the guy was trying to help him, and then he got a phone call then on air, you know, he'd call in. And the guy said, well, I know what he needs. And the radio disc jockey said, well, what does he need? He needs Jesus. And he said, Jesus isn't the answer for everything. But Jesus is the answer for everything. This soul thirst is an internal evidence of its kinship with God. Second point we want to make this morning is the object of it. What is the object of it? My soul, verse 1 still, my soul thirsteth for thee. My soul longeth for thee. Now you know as a Christian that that's how you feel. You thirst for the Lord. You thirst for the Word of God. You thirst for God the Father to hear you and help you in your time of struggles, as we talked about this morning. Only those, now understand this, only those who know God will thirst after Him. If you don't know God, you will never thirst after Him. But you'll thirst after the pleasures of this world. You'll thirst after the things that are right here in front of you, and you can just grab a hold of and obtain them. But your thirst will never be quenched, because it isn't a quenching that you need from the world. The quenching you need is from the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see other place in the scriptures, the heart, which is a type of deer, panteth after the water brook, because it knoweth the refreshing effectiveness of the flowing stream. It knows when it's thirsty. It knows where it can go to get a drink of water. It's funny, my granddaughter and I, we feed the deer. And my wife said, they're out there waiting for you last night. I said, yeah, I know, but I'm running out of corn, and I kind of basically have to stop for the whole month of April, because what happens is when they find a source of food, they're not going nowhere. They're going to stick around that area, and they know every time, morning and evening, when there's food, they know. And I felt bad for them last night. I went out there, let the dog out, and they're out there, and they're looking at me like, okay, when are we going to eat? So they're hungry. I understand that. But if I don't stop feeding them for at least a month, they'll never split up. They'll never spread out. And that's what the game board said. Go ahead, you can feed them. It's not a problem. But try to stop in April for the month so they will, you know, go find other green pastures, so to speak, and split up. And right now, they're eating me out of house and home, because there are like 12 of them, you know. And they eat a lot. You can feed them morning and evening, and it still ain't enough, because you can see them out there. If I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, there they are looking for food. So they're always looking for food. So the deer always know where the water is. They always know. And they'll go to that water. If they know they have a source, they will go there and get a drink. There are souls that are smitten with intense thirst, but they know not what they really need. So they rush to the broken cisterns that cannot hold no water. And that's the things of the world, the broken cisterns. They go to get it, there's nothing there because it's broken. Try as you may. Now, there's a multitude of churches around the area. I almost guarantee you that there's many Christians in those churches that are thirsting because they're not getting the proper water. They're not getting the proper refreshment. In fact, one visitors that we've had, they said that very thing. They said that some of the things that I've preached here, you'll never hear anywhere else. They didn't hear it. In fact, they said that the preachers are afraid to preach it. So if they're afraid to preach it and are not getting what they need, then they're never going to understand or come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now we understand there's a lot of false doctrine out there, and if there's false doctrine, there is no water. You know, it's broken cisterns, the water's all run out. They will not acknowledge that it is God they need. Just like the man on the radio. Jesus isn't the answer for everything. Well, so you say. My professor in college said there is not one being that controls all things all the time. Oh, but there is. You just don't know. See, that's the whole thing. You don't know who he is, and you don't want to know who he is. The people that aren't saved right at this time, unless God works in them through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, they don't want to know. They don't want to know God. They don't want no part of him. But I guarantee you, if tragedy happens in their life, the first thing they do is pray to God. First thing they do. All the rest of the time, they care less. God don't exist. And as far as Jesus goes, well, don't speak to me of Jesus. I don't hear about Jesus. My one uncle, he's gone now. Hopefully he's with the Lord. He told me one time, he says, we talk, and I'd start, since I mentioned the word doctrine, he said, I want to hear your doctrine. Don't tell me about your doctrine. He went to a church out in Texas, and I can't think of his name right offhand, but he's real popular on the radio, real popular on TV. I can't think of his name. You know what he told me? He said, I finally found a church that agrees with me. Not that he agreed with the church or the teachings of the church or what the Bible says. He found one that agrees with him. Isn't that amazing? How can you say that? I believe he was a godly man. He just had his priorities in the wrong place. He'd been taught the wrong things. These folks living, restless soul, it is the living, restful God you need. Look at Psalm 42 and verse 2. Psalm 42 and verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I said it this very morning, and I went through this last night, but I wasn't thinking about this per se. I was thinking about something else. And I said, Lord, when shall we appear before you? When are you coming to get us and get us out of this stuff? It's amazing how our soul thirsts for God, isn't it? Second point is the cause of it. What is the cause of this thirst for God? We read here, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. There's no water here. Now you can try as hard as you want. You know what most people do? Here's what they're relying on today. Well, they were so glad when marijuana got legalized, right? That was such a great thing that happened. Marijuana got legalized. Now they can go try to get their thirst quenched. Because what these folks are, what they're relying on is alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, everything else but God. You need God. More so, you need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And if you don't have him and you die right today, you are going to hell. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what I believe. This is what this church believes. If you do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no other place you can get quenched of your thirst. The land in which we dwell is in itself a dry, thirsty place. There is no water in it. Absolutely nothing belonging to it that can meet this deep soul need of man. The woman at the well, what she said to Jesus, give me this living water. Why? Because the Spirit of God was working in her life. She realized that the water from that well was not going to do it. You know, the amazing thing about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that Christ went out of his way to go see, the amazing thing about that was she had a pitcher and she's coming to the well to draw water because the pitcher was empty, right? Jesus starts talking to her about her soul and her need for water. Therefore, she proclaimed, Lord, give me this living water. Give me this water that I may never thirst again. And she went into the town and she started telling the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to the pitcher? It's sitting on a well, still empty. She was no longer worried about the physical water because she had the spiritual water. And that was enough to quench her thirst. Our best surroundings, apart from the enjoyment of the presence of God, is but a howling wilderness to the unwakened. It's just a desert. It's just a wilderness. You haven't woke up yet. See? You're still living for the things of the world, not the things of God. There's an emptiness which only mocks the true hunger of the soul. This world offers the thirsty one everything but the one thing needful. It'll offer you everything. The government even comes along now and says, don't worry. You don't have to go to work no more. We will take care of you. You need money? We'll get you money. You need food? We'll get you food. You need shelter? We'll get you shelter. You need water? We'll get you water. But the only thing is, when you drink that water, you're still going to be thirsty. The next point is the motive of it. What is the motive of thirsting for God? Verse 2 there, it says, to see thy power and thy glory. That's what we want to do. We want to see the power and the glory of God. Think back before you were saved. Think back before the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. Weren't you thirsty? Weren't you looking for something? And where did we go? We went to the corner tavern, hoping that we could find what we needed there. Then we smoked. I never smoked any mojo weed, but there's plenty of guys I went to school with that did. You know what they were looking for? They were looking for something to quench their thirst. The motive here for thirsting for God, to see thy power and thy glory, this is a bold and large demand. What a satisfactory vision. To see the power and glory of God. To see the power of His saving grace and the glory of His matchless character. When you can wake up lost person, when you can wake up and say, I can no longer exist. I no longer can move. I can no longer do anything without God in my life. You just have been quenched of your thirst. In the sanctuary of His holy word, this refreshing revelation is made. In the person of His Son, His power and glory can be seen. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 37. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's done, that's past. The Spirit of God is here now. And he will give drink to those who seek it. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Next point, the confidence of it. How can we be confident? Look at verse 5 in our text. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. You know, without marrow in the bone and fatness on our, we die. We'll die. Where this thirst has been created, it is the forerunner of rich and lasting blessings. God Himself becomes the portion of whosoever seeks Him. He makes them drink of the river of His pleasure. Go to Psalms 36 and verse 8. And I want to kind of comment on this, because I think this answers some questions that I'm sure people ask, and we even sometimes ask. Psalm 36, 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. You see what that says? Thou shalt make them. You can't do it for yourself. God makes you. He made Paul willing in the day of his salvation. He made him willing. You can't do it on yourself. That's why, you know, we know several free will people. Their hearts are good. And I'm sure they love the Lord, but they've not given God all the glory for their salvation, because it's in themselves that they rely on. Folks, God makes us willing in the day of His power. He makes us willing. People say, well, I don't want to be controlled by God. My dad even said one time, well, that just makes us a puppet. I said, I'd rather have God pulling the strings. What's so wrong with that? See, I never understood why that's so wrong. What is the problem? Let God pull the strings. Let him pull me wherever he wants. I want to go wherever he wants me to go and do whatever he wants me to do. I may rebel, I may not like it, but that's what we need to do. The soul is not to be satisfied with theological bones, but with marrow and fatness, the finest of the wheat. You know, there's nothing worse or more disappointing than, I don't know if you've ever done this, but my grandparents lived on a farm, and I used to love to go out and pick them stalks of wheat out of the field and all them kernels on there. And there was nothing more upsetting than when you go to peel that chaff back, there's no corn. Well, it's wheat, but they in the scriptures they call it corn. There's nothing there. Isn't that disappointing? When we go out there, we want corn in there. We want wheat in them. The finest of the wheat. Lastly, the guidance of it. The guidance of it. Verse 8, and I just read, "My soul followeth hard after thee." Well, not, I just didn't just read it, but back in our text, let's just go there again. Verse 63, "My soul followeth hard after thy right hand upholdeth me." They know, the psalmist knew who was going to uphold him. Wasn't him, wasn't himself, but it was God. The hand of God does it. So how do you want to go through the rest of your life until you die? You are going to die. Do you want to go through it by being in God's hand, or you want to try to do it on your own? You know, the rich man in Luke 16 tried to do it on his own. It didn't work. When once the thirsty roots of a tree find the river, you know what they do? They follow it. You ever notice when you see a tree and the roots are like this way and that way? You know why? They went that way is because there was moisture in the ground. And they were feeling their way through to get that moisture, that water. And that's what they'll do. So those who have found soul satisfaction in God will abide by the fountain of living water. If we have found in him full salvation, let us follow hard after him and in a consecrated service. Consecrated to him and only him. You know, if you come into church with any other motive than to worship him in spirit and truth, you got a wrong motive. I have in the past. My wife and I don't talk about it, but it comes to me from time to time. They're not here now, but I've seen them come through the door with other motives than serving God. Other motives. I only say this to those folks. God is watching. God knows your heart. He knows the intent that you had when you came through them doors. And I've been in this long enough to spot the fakes and the phonies, member or not. And it just crushes my heart to see it. A member of a church walking through that door with other motives. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise the Lord and amen. May God bless his word to your heart today. Thank you.